Oh, hello and welcome back to the Paul Fax Dear Diary podcast, Casty Pod Pods. Do excuse me. Well, if you remember last week, truff all happened really. It's too hot to be getting up too hot. It's just summertime horrendousness. Cecil played a prank on me. I think I played a prank on Cecil. And that's what we get up to sometimes, it's just summertime larks. So let's just continue the reading. Hymn number 4555555. See a hammer cook in any quinkos. 13th of August. Toby Wilde came round today. I haven't seen the little dwarfy man in quite a while. He was sporting a Robin Hood style hat for some reason. It wasn't very becoming of him. He was interested in the display on the wall. Oh, of course, yes, that's what was happening. I knew something happened. Obviously, we went to Austria and got Grandad's diary pages. And then we put them up in the hall in like a big display with all lines going from one bit to the other, like some kind of detective in a serial killer's case. That's what we've done. So that was all in our hallway with all red lines going from one bit to the other bit, linking and making connections. Anyway, Toby Wilde came round today, was born Toby Wilde. Sorry. Toby Wilde came round today. I haven't seen the dwarfy man in quite a while. He was sporting a Robin Hood style hat for some reason. It wasn't very becoming. He was very interested in the display on the wall in the hall about Grandad and that flipping silver box. I took him... Oh, there's people outside doing who's a fudge. I took him through it all and, like, a little Stephen Hawking without a wheelchair, he had a tiny brainwave. He took the recently found June diary pages and turned them over, and the reason that there were gaps in the diary pages was that Grandad had written on both sides of the pages. So it went from one side of the page was the third, and then the next page was the seventh. Just never thought to turn them over. So anyway, Cecil got very excited. He asked me to help him read through them, but I refused because I wanted to actually do a phone in on the whole if you had your sexual organs removed, but that made you able to go invisible. Moral debate on wanted to do a phone in on Radio Thax, because obviously Cecil's summertime larks meant he unplugged the internet when I was doing that conversation and nobody heard it. So I did do that conversation on Radio Thax and some people heard it. In fact, it was all going very nicely. Some nice ideas about being invisible, like you could get locked in a supermarket at night and then just eat all the crisps that you wanted to. Or you could whisper in people's ears on the bus to freak them right out. Just sort of sneak up to an old woman and just say, "There's Polish people near you." And just freak them right out. But then some killjoy biddy woman came on and complained that the talk was too erotic. Because a man said he'd hide in the ladies' changing rooms. And she said it was highly offensive and borderline rape. I pointed out it couldn't be rape as the invisible man wouldn't have the tackle to perform any sexual actions, so it wouldn't be sexual based, it'd just be normal assault. But this sort of put a black cloud over everything and people seemed to not want to talk about it, keep it at a distance. They just said, "No, I wouldn't want to be invisible, thank you." So, just a note on my feelings is that of course I wouldn't want my little man to be chopped off, no matter how invisible it made me and how many crisps I could eat on one evening. August 14th. Today I had a look over Grandad's June's diary pages. There are several interesting entries, like this one for example. You ready, Cecil?
Yes, I'm ready. It's me, Cecil. Hello, how do you do?
I told you they can't hear you.
They can't hear me? Why am I reading it then?
I mean, they can hear you, but they just can't reply to you, Cecil.
I wasn't expecting a reply, you idiot. Stupid boy. Hello, it's me reading Grandpa Papa, my father's Bertram Thanks's diary. Yes, gentle. June the 16th, yes.
Don't be posh.
Sorry. June the 16th. Now, this is my father's diary in the wartime.
Cecil, come on, we've got limited time.
Everybody's got limited time, Paul. Nobody's time's infinite.
Shut up. Read it.
Trying to. June the 16th, 1940-something. Clarissa's bra snapped and hit me in the eye. It tore open my eye flesh and clear matter came oozing out of my eye socket. I can't describe what it looks like to look through an eye that has its iris slowly falling out of it. I simply don't recommend it. I went to see the doc and he patched me up. Quite literally, because I now sport an eye patch. Clarissa won't have anything to do with me. She says I'm spoiled goods. So, I'm making plans to head back to Germany. I'm sure Doris will take me in.
That's all, thank you.
Grandad then waffles on for 2 pages about a train journey, detailing what type of train and carriage it's going to have in it. I kept on reading, but you know, I wasn't taking it in. It was something about luggage and pondering if there'd be enough rack space to house all his luggage. Boring. Going through Grandad's diary is quite tedious work, especially as Dad's usually perched over my shoulder, demanding I read it out loud, which is quite hard because Grandad's writing is dreadful. It's worse than mine. And that's saying something. I wonder what mine's like. Now I haven't handwritten anything in about 14 years. Oof. I imagine it's worse than Miss Marple's.
What?
Just think Miss Marple's got really bad handwriting. She's quite delicate looking.
She's too sexy. Of course she's got nice handwriting.
Shut up. 15th of August. Aunt Beryl and Uncle Stanley have made an unexpected appearance. They've blown all the money that they got from the grandparents. And they're now destitute. If that means they're homeless. I don't know if that's a special kind of prostitute. Hope not. Their son apparently stole £14,000 from the £24,000 that they got given, and then he's buggered off to Thailand to live with some ladyboys. Beryl begged Mum to let them live here until they get back on the feet, which, given that they're both 73 and unemployed, could be some considerable time. It took Stanley 20 minutes to get out of the armchair this morning. Dad's armchair. Dad had gone for his mid-afternoon plop attempt, number 2 probably, when Stan staggered over and stole Dad's vacant chair like a naughty cat would. I don't think he likes sitting so close to me, because, you know, I've not showered in a couple of weeks and it's been very hot. And when Dad came back in, he just stood in front of Stanley and just kept saying, "Out!" And then Stanley would just say, "What did it say, Cecil?"
Can't remember what voice I put on for him.
What's that noise?
Text message from Mum. Hang on. Let's just read it. Oh, Mum's going shopping at Tesco's. Do you want oat, Cecil?
I'd like... What would I like?
Do you want some knobbly bobblies?
I beg your pardon?
Nobbly bubblies.
Oh, the ice cream.
Yeah, the nobbly bubblies.
Shut up.
Right, I won't text or anything then, so just putting that down on there. Screw you. I've lost my place now, Cecil. You talking at me. Uncle Stanley sat in Dad's chair, essentially, and then Cecil came back in and just stood in front of his chair and said to Uncle Stanley,
"Out!"
Then Stanley said, "Don't talk to me like a dog. I'll move when I'm good and ready." But Dad was resolute and he just said,
"Out now!"
In the end, Stanley moved, but he gave Dad a filthy look. Either that or he's having one of his strokes. He says strokes, he's not having a stroke. He's just getting grumpy, but he has to hide his emotions. Not allowed to show emotion. He's too northern for that. Northern men don't have emotions. Stony faced and hard. 16th of August.
Don't do it like that, stupid.
Sorry, it's just quite a sibilant word. Anyway, 16th of August. As we aren't living in Cristella anymore, our spare rooms no longer total four. We've only got one tiny box room that's spare, so Beryl and Stanley are having to sleep on the bunk beds in there. Which is all well and good in theory, but when Beryl got up for the night for a sneaky wee, she slipped down the ladders. Luckily, we'd foreseen such an event and had covered the floor in spare duvets. And she didn't break any of her precious old biddy bones, but her nerves were absolutely riddled. Riddled and piddled she was, because she did a do a little wee. She didn't dare go back to the top bunk bed, so she stayed up all night watching TV downstairs. You know, this was fine for everyone else as they're all quite deaf, but for Muggins here, a young boy, with his youthful ears, I could hear almost every word that came out of the TV. She, for some unknown reason, had decided to watch Mum's entire collection of instructional videos on building with asbestos. The dangers within methylithionoma. Don't know what. Rubbish. So, as a result, Beryl was very grumpy all day today, as was I, both very sleepy. Dad suggested we go into town for a pub lunch, but bloody Beryl said she was too tired to go, so Stanley wouldn't go. Then Mum decided she was going to stay at home. In the end, me and Dad ended up going to the supermarket and bringing home a packet of 12 mini pork pies and a bottle of 35p lemonade. Then we were all served it, and Mum insisted that the guests get some first choice, and they took 3 mini pork pies each, leaving only 2 for me and Mum and Dad to share. That's not right though, is it? How can it be? Because that's, if they took 3 each, that's 6. And then 6 is half of 12. So, alright, I see. Leaving 2 each for me, 2 for Mum and 2 for Dad. That's ample, isn't it? Not. Then to top it off, they used the last of my barbecue sauce on their pies. Yeah. And then once they'd licked the sauce off the pork pies, they just scooped out the meat from inside and just left the pastry. I could have had that, you know, if they'd not licked it. 17th of August. I came into the front room this morning with Uncle Stanley passionately kissing Mum on the chest and neck. She was sporting a low-cut biddy top, don't panic, she wasn't topless. I shouted at him and demanded to know what the devil he thought he was playing at. And then, I'd just woken up to be fair, I realised that of course it was Auntie Beryl, not Mum. Identical twins, aren't they? Always forget that. They threw a copy of TV quick at me, but I ducked like some kind of adventurer in a pyramid's gauntlet and it missed me. Then Stanley shouted at me to, get out, it's not been this rigid in 6 years. So I turned and waddled away into the kitchen, where I found Dad sat listening to the cricket on the radio. I asked him what the devil he thought he was doing, and he said he was having trouble sleeping and wanted something unbelievably dull and tedious to help him drift off. So I said, "Oh, Cecil, Mum's in the front room. She wants you for a minute." So Cecil staggered off to find her. A minute later, I heard Dad shout something. Then there were noises of something being smashed. And then Dad came staggering back into the kitchen. He sat down and said,
"That was your best prank yet, Paul. I'll have to think up something really special to get you back."
Then about 20 minutes later, we heard Mum coming in the front door with the shopping. She shouted for people to help come and help her unload the taxi, so me and Dad went into the hall. Also, Uncle Stanley walked into the hall, completely stark, but he had a teacup over the end of his withered member, which was stood to was some attention. It wasn't as, the angle wasn't quite as, he's old, is what I'm getting at. Stood at attention is maybe a slight stretch. He was sort of swooning somewhat. But anyway, we all just stood there in utter shock. He just said, "Do you need an hand without?" The taxi driver came into the front door with some shopping. He looked at Stanley, then looked at Dad, then looked at me, then looked at Mum, and then back to Uncle Stanley's cock. He didn't say a word, he just turned round and walked away. Cecil was the first to snap out of his shock. He slapped Stanley on the penis and shouted at him to cover his shame. What did you say, Cecil?
I said to him, I said, cover your shame, you idiot. You don't do that kind of thing in my house. If you want to continue living here, you'll cover up your wing-dang doodle. Or you're out, man.
Stanley was clearly about to say something to Cecil, but Cecil pushed him back into the front room. They both went in to the front room, and all we could hear was Cecil shout,
oh, she's got a baps out!
And then I fled outside to get the rest of the shopping. You know, because obviously Mum's identical twin. No matter how desperate I am to see a bosom, the two women on the planet whose bosoms I don't want to see are my mother's and her identical twin. Oh. At the snap tournament tonight, nobody said a single word, which for a snap tournament is absolute murder.
18th of August.
I finally unpacked all my boxes. It's only taken me several months. But when you're as lazy as me, it's not too bad, you know. It's better than expected. I found the reviews from our previous album, All Things Must Pass. I've still not been able to bring myself to show them to Dad, because it'd be heartbroken. I'll put the reviews here for everybody to read. And if this podcast's short enough, I might stick the album on the end. Why not? It's not like anyone's paying for the shit anyway. I'm gonna put them... Oh, nearly turned the computer off by playing with the socket with my toe. That'd be foolish. Anyway, I've lost my place now. I've gone off script. I've still not been able to bring myself to show them to Dad. He would be heartbroken. I'll put them here so when he reads my diary... And I know you and Mum are still reading it, Cecil, so don't pretend you don't know my female pen name. You'll finally read it and their crushing criticisms. Right, this is review number one.
Who's going to read this?
No one. Chuff you then, just staring at me. I'll read it. Review number one. We here at Hardcore Drum and Brass, the world's leading authority in all things drum and brass, ow my finger, were sent a copy of the latest offering by Thax. We assume it's a group, as we're receiving no information on the album whatsoever, just a cassette tape.
A cassette tape, for crying out loud!
And it just included a note which simply said, I thank you. So, after sending the work experience boy up to the loft space to retrieve a tape player, it actually took him 38 minutes and he got bit by a spider. He's hoping for super strong human abilities because, you know, he got bit by a spider. I personally think he's going to lose his hand. We finally managed to play the cassette tape. Now, there was a very small amount of brass on the album called Old Northern Man. The brass was very basic, to say the least, and I'm certain it wasn't real brass but digital brass. However, it seemed to suit the song, which seemed to me to be a chronological recollection of an old man's day, an old northern man's day. I quite liked the middle eight section until it became a middle nine section, which is just wrong. What's more noticeable to me, however, were some of the drums, and us being a drum and brass magazine, that's one of the things we're looking at. To the untrained ears, the drums may seem quite capable. However, a constant standard 4-4 bum tish followed by a drum roll, then a cymbal crash, does not a drummer make. So, to sum up, 2 plus 3 equals 5. To sum up the album, is that it? Thank you, Hardcore Drum and Brass Magazine. Right, I'm not reading the next one. Who wants to read it? Cecil?
Fine.
Right, you read it, Cecil?
Yes.
Another review said...
Last Thursday I received 2 8 track tapes of the new album by Thax called All Things Must Pass, with a note which read, "Privy good Sir Knight, wouldst thou listen?" I had to travel back in time to 1974, which was a major pain in the neck. Upon listening to the album, All Things Must Pass, I developed a pain slightly higher up than my neck, in my brain area. I was convinced this was from the music. I have, however, learnt that time travel gives you really, really bad headaches. Back in 1974, people who saw the album title asked me if it was a re-release of the George Harrison album of the same name, All Things Must Pass. Then when I played it to them, they started to cry and walked away upset. The more I listened to the album, the more it grew on me. And I'm not talking about the brain tumour caused by time travel. No, the song. I liked it so much I decided to play the album to a select group of 1974's most influential movers and shakers. So on the 1st of October 1974, in a small club just off Old Kent Road in London town, I gathered them. Remember that scene in Back to the Future at the end where Marty McFly plays Jenny Be Good? Or is it Johnny Be Good? I can't remember now. Well, it was like that bit. At first I seemed to like it, but then the song Ugly came on. Oh, the horror. So I said, "I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet, but your kids are gonna love it." And then they all left. Little did I know that the kids wouldn't love it. No, everybody hated it. But then I did, I liked it, and I'm somebody's kid. Hid from it when I was a baby, so I don't know who they were. Anyway, go out and buy it. I assume it's available on all good 8-track shops. Written by Teddy D. Lampwick, Time Traveller's Gazette.
Thank you, Cecil.
Oh, I'm tired now.
Right then, Sir Jeremy Cream, if this was ever one written for you, then this is one written for you.
What?
Well, this was a review by Brian Sewell. Do you remember him? I think he's dead now. He's a really Ponty Poshman. Do you remember him? Art critic.
Oh, of course I remember Brian Sewell. I had him rhymed for Lunch and Menotime Time.
Jolly good. Well, you've got... Oh, chuffers. Excuse me. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas puppy going absolutely ballistic because someone's dropping off a voting form. Right. You ready, Sir Brian? Sir Jeremy, you're pretending to be Brian Sewell.
Right, excellent. Here we go. How many takes do I get?
We don't do any editing, Sir Jeremy.
Oh, shit. Good afternoon, Toy Dear Raider. My name's Brian Sewell.
Can I just stop you there for a minute, Sir Jeremy?
What?
He doesn't talk like you have to put on his voice. You're not just doing your voice.
Fuck off.
Oof.
Good afternoon to you, dear reader. My name's Brian Sewell, the very famous art critic, British art critic at that. Last week I received a compact disc for review. Now, before playing the aforementioned disc, I readied myself by preparing a delicious lamb de Provençal, poured myself a glass of Domaine Romanticante, then sat back to consume the lamb and the music. Now, the album starts with a series of rhythmic clicking, which leads into a guitar droning on. Then we hear angelic sounds. A voice from heaven itself. A voice so gentle and yet so powerful as to shake the foundations of Himalayan himself. Now on this first hearing, I couldn't understand the words as they were lost in a haze of delicious acrobatic solemnity. The joy was then abruptly interrupted in what can only be described as what sounds like a man being dragged down a razor blade. Naked, whilst having vinegar poured in his open wounds. It was just absurd. to go from such joy to such terrible horror within the space of 3 minutes. This theme flip-flopped through the album. One moment it was as if Combogorli was serenading his love, and then twas as if Angaria was slaughtering the people of Vilmilio. I believe this interchange is a commentary on all the conflict which men feel at some point in their life, continually, as they age. With the subtle change to singing, just slightly out of key, being a direct comment on the social political agenda of modern Britain, it seems like a constant theme being woven through the album. But I feel the quintessential theme prevailing through the album is a deep desperation to break away from social and moral boundaries. Without commentating on Anglo-Hispanic relations or having, you know, a letter or number on the album like so many contemporary groups these days, it made me confused as to which song I was listening to because the track listing didn't have any numbers. It gave me a very deep and heartfelt sense of a commentary on themes of isolation, depression, self-loathing, and copying a lot of other people's songs. That was until I heard the song Ugly. Then I vomited my lamb de Provençal all over Mr. Palmer. It's my butler. The song is the literal definition of ugliness, which I believe is exactly what Thaxingtons, don't know, is it a single person or group? It's never made clear. I think that's what the song's meant to be about. All in all, I would give it 8 bottles of Clos de Parbs out of 10. This is my review by Brian Sewell for some snooty paper. Thank God.
Oh, God, I'm still doing more. Right then. Last one. Is this the last one? No, near enough. Right then. This is review number 4. This is a review by Anthony Worrell Thompson, who combined album reviews while giving you a recipe for a delicious meal. Okay, here we go. Anthony Worrell Thompson. I'll do it. It's my voice practically, isn't it? Hello, I'm Anthony Worrell Thompson. Now, if you want to... I got too excited. I got too into it, Cecil.
What?
Never mind. Hello, Anthony Worrell Thompson here. Now, if you want to cook a delicious beef and broccoli stir fry while you read my album review, then read on. Last Thursday, I received a CD in the post. Now, normally I review food, but place the broccoli spears into a heatproof bowl. I like the artwork on the CD, so I thought I would have a go at reviewing this album. Also because there was £5 in the envelope, cover them in boiling water. When I first heard it, I had a gun pinch the salt I need for 10 minutes. I heard the song Blubberman. I couldn't help but to compare the song Blubberman to myself, drain water. As a man of not unlarged stature, sliced the steaks into finger-sized strips and seasoned with salt and pepper, I found myself sympathising with the themes within the song of Blubberman. Themes such as pound the coriander seeds in a pestle and mortar, then sprinkle over the meat so that they will stick and give a lovely, fragrant flavour. Themes of inhibitions, shyness, and a deep need to heat a wok or large frying pan until very, very hot. Pour in a splash of olive oil and add the onions, garlic and ginger. A need to open one's self up to a close friend. I enjoyed the song. The song I enjoyed most was Fry for a Couple of Minutes Until the Onions Have Softened a Little. Was Old and Young Man. This song compares and contrasts seasoned pieces of beef and stir fry the lives of both old and the young men of Northern Yorkshire. Drawing the conclusions that in fact that broccoli spears and fry for a further 2 minutes, stirring all the time, an old northern man and a young northern man are frightfully similar. Towards the end of the album, I felt that pour in the soy sauce and the sesame oil. I was being drawn into a dreamscape of emotions, and I got the feeling that at any time I might toss the pan until everything is well coated, lose myself in the music, and become at one with the egg noodles or steamed rice. In summation, if you're feeling flash, use fillet steak instead of sirloin in your stir fry. It was an alright album. It was a review by Anthony Worrell Thompson, combining reviews with recipes yearly. Oh God, there's more. I'm not reading 2 more pages of this shit. Oh, there's some quick ones here. This is boring. Oh God. Right, the last quick ones. I'll get through these. Once when I was about 8, me and several mates of mine were climbing on all broken cars in a nearby scrap heap. After about an hour, it began to rain and the cars got slippery. There was a clap of thunder and I slipped over because I got frightened. A large piece of rusty metal tore my leg open. The tore went from under my knee all the way up to my hip. Because I was slipping down, it was just cutting me. I also put my eye on a car antenna. Then I stumbled into the open boot of a Fiat Uno, which then slammed shut on my ankle, locking me in. I passed out from pain, lack of blood and terror. And when I came to, there was a large tattooed man stood over me with a pit bull chewing at my foot. It was tearing strips of flesh off my leg while the man tried to get it off me. The rest of it is a haze, and 4 days later I woke up in hospital with only one leg and pipes going up my penis. To sum up, that experience was less painful than listening to this album. What were they thinking? Utter shit. That was a review by Jeremy Tadcaster from Insulting Your Hard Work Weekly. And then... one by... we sent it to David Dickinson just to see what he would say to it. And he just sent 3 words as a reply. Shit as chips. Not cheap as chips. Just shit as chips. Thanks for that. That one hurt the most, I think. Ooh, sorry. 18th of August. Dad and Stanley had a big argument over which HD channel to watch. Dad wanted to watch BBC One HD and Uncle Stanley wanted to watch ITV One HD. It wasn't the content of the channel they were interested in, it was just to inspect the HD quality of that said channel. They shouted at each other for a good 7 or 8 minutes before Chunky Boy here, Blobby Paul Fax, got up from the sofa, proud as a peacock when it's pooing. I sort of puffed up my chest, got hold of my t-shirt material near my nipples, as if they were braces, and stood up like a 19th century gentleman, and sort of pronounced, I went, "Why, my good lords, Cecil and Stanley, thine bickering is both pointless and idiotic. Do you not see the foolishness of your debate? For you see, our television is not modern. It doesn't boast any form of LCDs or plasma. Its rays come via cathodes and tubes, and thus is not capable of displaying any broadcast signal in high definition, for 'tis but an analogue television, not a digital television. The reserve of HD is reserved purely for the flattest of all the televisual devices." And then I gave my most smug look to both of them and sat back down on the sofa with quite a large thunk, but a thunk of dignity. Although, as I did thunk down, I sat on one of my testy. It really hurt, but I was so smug I couldn't let them know that I'd hurt myself. They'd just laugh at me. Then Stanley started getting angrier and angrier. I suspect that when he lived with Beryl, he was used to getting his own way all the time because she's quite browbeaten. Cecil told Stanley to calm down and Dad just put BBC One on. Stanley picked up his mug of tea and threw it at Cecil, but it sort of he had an arm spasm because he's old, and he threw the cup at the television. Tea went everywhere. The cup hit the TV screen and smashed it. Sparks flew out and set fire to the faux sheepskin rug on the floor. And then the power in the entire house went off. Mum, who had just been sat watching this, screamed at Stanley. And then Stanley told her to go boiler head. Then he stormed out, slamming the front door like a 5-year-old. Then Aunt Beryl just said, "Ow, good bloody riddance." While me and Dad stamped out the fire with our slippers. Bloody Stanley's an idiot. Well, at least this way we're going to get a new TV. Me and Mum and Dad are going to a retail shopping centre tomorrow to look for one. I think I might ask Tony and that lot to come with us. 19th of August. Well, what can I say about today's diary entry? I can see you've already heard it, because it was, for some reason, I've put in the diary entry from where we went to the World of Leather, and then we went to the vegan restaurant. You remember that, with the tomato? Got a tomato in my mouth, didn't I? At the end of it all. Don't know why it's in twice. Don't know what's happened there. I'm not reading it again, because you've heard it. So, essentially, we went to an industrial estate which had a Currys, and we bought a TV. My mum and dad bought a TV. I'm not paying for it. It's quite nice. It's coming in a few days. Don't know when. Not sure. So, with that being said, I'll stick the album All Things Must Pass on the end of this. Why not? It's free, innit? What are you going to do? Charge me money for it? I don't think so. So, enjoy listening to some god-awful music, or just turn it off now. Maybe just turn it off now. It is terrible. Shitter's chips. Thank you.
Washed down to the west.
That's my morning routine. Shave my haggard face.
Oh, Lord, man. Struggles with watching can. Sunday roast.
I'll have the lamb. Cardigan and slipper. Pipe. Flat cap. Early morning cuppa. Dog jumps on the lap. Time for a walk. Out across the park. A bump into Bernard. How's the grandson Mark? Down to the bookies. A flutter on the docks. Whiteley's lad sounds lucky. We doesn't have good odds. Ah, oh, it's not easy being an old northern man. I remember the days, like the Hovis adverts, walking up a steep hill with a large bike. Oh, it was just so much more quaint than these days. Oh, to be back then. Bliss.
Oh, northern man. Struggles with watering can. Sunday roast.
I am. Tea time at home now. The stew's on the boil. Dumplings soon be ready. Oh, I best take my fish oil. More coal for the fire. Emmerdale's on the telly. Cat purring on the lap now. And Guinness in the belly. Time for bed, lad. Pigeons come home tomorrow. First prize if they get ya. Oh, I hope it doesn't snow.
Oh, northern man. Struggles with watering can. Sunday roast.
I am the lamb.
Oh, northern man. Struggles with watering can. Sunday roast.
do than have an hour on the loo. Straining hard to poo, no bran. I'm not the man, and I do whatever I can, but I don't stand. I need some bran.
Actually, I'm a fool in all. Sorry.
We are Northern. In bed I crash after an hour of urine trash. Ooh, I've got a rash. Down there. Young Northern man, I do whatever I can. But I don't understand the women. The women. I once saw a disappointed horse by a picture of some agitated Norse. The wind is sometimes gale or force, and more than one time I've seen Inspector Morse. But it's all this because I hail from the me sad. You got yourself some hobbies. You got yourself a brass band. You got yourself a Yorkshire stereotype. Yeah. You got yourself a coal mine. You got yourself some strikers. You got the 80s in a nutshell. I'm a young Northern man. I do whatever I can, but women I don't understand. Oh yeah. A Bennett. You get yourself a cracker. You get yourself a horror in a play. Under the sofa, you got yourself the summer. You got yourself some wine. You got yourself a long-running sitcom. In a bath, you're not a man. You look, there I am. Ooh, oh yeah. You got yourself an accent. You got yourself a rose. You got yourself a war with Lancashire. Lancashire.
Thank you. Yeah. can't take the lot, I have no joy. And my mind, it doesn't love me, that is why I think I'm a day.
I'm a thief among in the meetings. I'm dancing around chaps. I'm skipping over the doggy's turds. Oh yeah, 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 look at me go. Avoid eye contact with all the homeless. Don't go near charity collectors. Shy away from survey takers. And don't you dare hand me the leaflet.
Gonna take you right. Show your face. in the body light. I'm telling you, just how I feel. Gonna hurt your mind. I don't shoot to kill. Come on, come on, lay it all on me right. I'm giving you to the count of three. Gonna show you stuff. I'll just let it be. I'm telling you, I just want you now. I know your game, and I know what you're about. See, the sky's the limit. With me, that's really true. But my friend, you ain't seen nothing. I can just wait till I get through. Because I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm really, really bad. I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm a bit naughty. I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm really ever so bad. And the whole world knows what I'm trying now to tell you once again. Yeah, the word is out. You're doing wrong. I'm gonna lock you up. I've been far too long. Your lying eyes, I can take you out. So listen up, and then don't make a fight. Your talk is cheap. You're not a man. You're throwing stones, tied hands. You say this guy's a limit. That's a little true. I'm a friend, I've seen nothing. I just wait till I get through. Cause I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm really, really bad. I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm ever so naughty. And the old world has trying to turn out to tell you once again. A sunky. My rule, be a better place. If you don't like what I'm saying, then jump right in my face. Because I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm really bad. Oh, I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm ever so naughty, I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm really, really bad. And the old world has to have time now to tell you once again. I'm smooth, I'm bad. I'm all smooth. I'm rude. And I'm smooth. I'm smooth. I'm not. I'm lying about that. Your world has to answer that. I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm ever so naughty. I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm singing. I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm really bad. And your world has to answer that. I'm bad, I'm bad. I'm ever so bad. And the old world has to answer that. Get you once again. Oh, good lord. That wasn't very smooth.
outside your window. And look, in your drawer. Listen to your wall. Nail, shut your door. For better, oh, L is for nerve, U is for underwear, B is for better, B is for better, I'm all better, E is for ecstasy, R is for restraining order. M is for me, A is for Aaron, N is for no stopping me. B is for butter, L is for nerve, U is for underwear. B is for butter, B is for butter, my butter. E is for ecstasy. R is for restraining order. M is for me. A is for Aaron. N is for no stopping me. So brace yourself.
Why shouldn't I fire you here today? you know, it's almost insulting. Making people laugh.
He's a man here. Businessman here. Does business when he can. At a meeting. A business meeting. A business meeting with a man. He's a real businessman.
I'm sorry, that's ludicrous, I'm out.
He wants a meeting, arrange a meeting, for some time after two. He sees a client, a business client. He's doing business with that man.
You're hired. You're fired.
It's just business, pointless business.
You're hired. You're fired.
It's just business, simple business.
You're hired. You're fired.
It's just business, pointless business. It's so important. Important business. He's an important businessman.
Why?
Why?
Why? 9 to 5. He feels alive. Doing business all his life.
Why would anybody want this?
Making contacts. The business contacts. They help him do further business.
So I'm afraid you can hear exactly where I'm going.
Selling products. Buying products. It's also doing a service.
I'm out.
A business car. A business class. Business all around the world. Cause he's a man here. A businessman here, he does business when he can.
You're hired, you're fired.
It's just business, simple business.
You're hired, you're fired. Get out, go on. Go on. You're hired. Yeah, come in. No, you'll get out. You're fired, you. Come on.
It's just business and poverty.
Thank you.
This is not a football match. This outburst of yours, which is not something that I would condone, you're fired.
Can make you wince. first I saw doing this song got me thinking about people and their feelings. And deep down, we're all the same scared little child we always were. All we need, all we crave is the love and respect of our friends and family. So Father, I ask you a simple question from my heart to yours. Cecil, please, please, can you let me bid on that Playboy from 1983 with the pull-out Sue Pollard and Ruth Maddock scene? Please, Cecil, you can see all the nipples and everything. Cecil.
Shut up, Paul, I'm in the middle of recording this song here.
I'm do the boo again. Oh, here I go. There is a boo. Waving in the spotlight, I'm a million miles away. Every ounce of species is trying to get away. And the sweat pours out my body like a diarrhea that's coming out. Oh, it's coming out. Echoes of the bowel movements ringing in my head. I watched the days last year a trash, remembering the poos I'd shed. Poos I'd shed.
Get out! Don't look at me. I'm not doing anything, Cecil.
You better not be singing a certain song by a certain dead Beatle about a certain thing passing.
I'm not certain, Cecil.
Well, you better get certain.
Anyway, what's your problem with that song?
It's too ominous, Paul.
It's not. You know,
there's too many negative connotations about certain things passing away.
Shut up.
I.e. me, being old. I'll not have it on our album, Paul. We worked very hard on this.
Sir?
To have it sullied by the likes of you.
Shut up. It's not just your album,
yes,
you know.
I've done a lot of hard work on this myself.
The hell you have. You know, just because you get to write all the guitar, but it's not fair, sir.
It
so
is
why do you
fair,
get the
you stupid.
Right, that's it. In fact,
what?
Where's my guitar?
Don't you dare play it. Don't you dare play it, Paul.
Get off.
No, stop it. Stop it, Paul.
There's a
light. Get off. Right, come here. Get off, you stupid boy.
Evening.
Get off. You're not playing it. It's not going on now. Cecil, you can't even sing it.
You get off.
Get
come
off it.
Cecil.
Let go. Let go, Paul.
Don't you dare.
Right.
Cecil.
Smash it, bastard. Well, that's what you get. I don't care, you stupid boy. It's what you get.
You bastard.